We've got coaching changes. Well, Ralph Krueger, no one should really be too surprised. Suspensions, a couple of scary incidents as well. Ovi, the greatest goal scorer, keeps climbing that ladder. The Flames are 3-0. So much to get at. Happy St. Paddy's Day. It's Cody Jansen rolling solo for now. We are searching for our MIA co-host, Adam. He might kick around. How's it going? It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Lordco Auto Parts, the absolute best out there. So much to get to on the show today, but I do got to kick it off. Would be remiss not to mention this. I mean, it's a sad week in the hockey world. Not an easy one to talk about. Dynamo St. Petersburg defenseman Timur Fezadinov tragically passes away at the age of 19. Fatal head injury during his junior game against Loko Yaroslav. It's just a tough one. I mean, we want to pass along our condolences, our thoughts and prayers to him, his family. And you know, one thing that I think might get passed over a little bit too is the, you know, the player who ended up shooting the puck. If you've seen the video, it looks like a harmless play. It's something that happens hundreds, thousands of times in hockey. You know, accidents happen. It's a tough one. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to them, you know, over in Russia from everyone at World Hockey Report. That's a sad day in the hockey world. Moving along, though, there is a ton of NHL news to get to on the show today. We're going to talk Florida Panthers at about 40 minutes time. Alan Pupar can hop on the show, NHL.com correspondent down there in Florida. And Abby Rock, hopping on, Wisco grad. Going to jump on here, PWHPA superstar in the making, called the best player in the world by Hillary Knight, or she will be the best player in the world, called by Hillary Knight. So she's going to hop on here in about 15 minutes time. Talk all things hockey. It's St. Paddy's Day. How are you? We're going to talk, you know, a little coaching change here in Buffalo. Do we have Adam on the line right now?
Oh, God.
Oh geez, he's here. This is,
dude, the time
I called it. I told James too. I said this idiot's sleeping.
No, I was like getting ready to get going, and oh man, that's brutal. Hey,
so Adam slept in. How much of a fine is this? Comment, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter.
I called you like an hour ago.
I can't confirm that. I
we spoke on the phone an hour ago,
and
I didn't know your time was changing too. Damn it.
Well, time doesn't change in Saskatchewan, does it?
No, that's the thing. So I was like, oh, we're still at 12.
Oh my goodness. I knew it was going to mess it up. I knew it. Terrible, terrible timing. Okay. Adam Ermentrout's with us here. Follow him on Twitter at @ermentrout. I'm on Twitter at @janner31. Quick, I passed up on the Lordco read here. I was just winging it by myself, thinking I was going to have to go solo for a full 20. Lordco Auto Parts, household name communities across Western Canada since 1974. The trusted place to shop for your automotive needs. Lordco, proudly Canadian owned and operated, now finally in Edmonton, carrying much more than just car parts. Their newest store, St. Albert Trail Northwest, huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories, a dedicated truck center so they can fix Adam's car, which he can't use his doors still. Whether you're looking for high performance auto parts, shop equipment, paint, body supplies, outdoor gear, whatever you need to get your RV or boat on the water, RV on the road, boat on the water, Lordco's got you covered, driven to keep you moving. Lordco Auto Parts, 7 days a week. Visit them today for an exceptional customer experience, or learn more about the products and services at lordco.com. So Adam Ermentrout is on the line here. I kind of, you know, brought up the Ralph Krueger firing. I know you're a lot bigger into this. I don't think he was the problem by any means. Buffalo's just underperforming. It doesn't matter who's behind the bench. You could have all the best coaches in the world behind that bench, that team would still suck.
Yeah, I think, well, we had Matt Beauvais on a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, maybe we'll get him back on. But then I was like, I'm so sick of talking about the Sabres and just, oh yeah, the Sabres screwed up again. They did this again. And yeah, I mean, the team isn't good enough. They haven't gotten anything from who they thought they were going to get stuff from, like Jack Eichel, Eric Staal, Taylor Hall. Like, their best player has been Sam Reinhart. And I tweeted it out the other day as a joke, is Rasmus Dahlin a bust? And people thought that, like, I was like insinuating that. I wasn't, but at the same time, he got walked a couple of good times.
He's a dash 27.
Yeah, like, he got, it's not, eventually you're like, okay, like, what's going on with this guy, right? And everybody's was like, he's like Lidstrom and stuff like that, and clearly hasn't been.
No, that's such a stretch, and I wouldn't call him a bust either. I mean, he's playing on a terrible team, but we got to be realistic with his expectations here. I mean, this is a guy who everyone was saying is going to be the best defenseman in the NHL. He's the next Erik Karlsson. He's this, he's that. No, hasn't looked like that at all. Adam, you saw that Hall getting the puck in the face yesterday. I mean, I opened up the show here talking about, you know, the kid in Russia who fatally passed away there after taking a puck in the head. Man, that was too soon. That's a scary incident. How do you come back from that? I watched a little bit of the game. Oh my goodness, that's terrible. And that's why the NHL, how is that not a cross-checking penalty? Like, who's holding these refs accountable nowadays? Because it's been pathetic. That's such a dangerous play. You know, you're pushing a guy right into a shot. You're knocking him down with a blatant cross check in front. I don't even think it was a penalty. But how are these refs getting away with not calling these things? Even that cross check on Barzal. A buddy snaps his stick over his back, gives him a couple of whacks, and that doesn't get called? What a joke.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've talked about the Tanev hit yet, but like...
No, we haven't yet. We'll dive into this later.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, the cross-checks are a little much there, especially when it's the guy's back, right? And you're not expecting to get hit when you're facing the boards like that, but if we want to relay this into the Tanev hit, I mean, I think it was a charge, kind of seeing that overhead angle. I'm sure you saw, but
I don't want to get into the Tanev hit yet, though. I really want to stick on this cross check because this has got me infuriated. These are simple rules that are like, hey, you can't cross check someone like that. Hey, we want to protect our stars. How are guys getting hit? I mean, look at like Austin Matthews' agent, you know, bitching and complaining at the start of the year. Stutzla, you know, guys are getting hurt from these cross checks now, and they're not getting penalized when it's black and white. This isn't a debatable charging or boarding. This is a black and white cross check slash that's intentionally hurting guys right now.
Yeah, and especially when like you break your stick over the guy and that goes uncalled. I think that's a little much. Yeah.
It's stupid. Okay, I just had to get that out there because that's so just stupidly frustrating. Let's get into the Tanev hit, though, and suspension, I think. Was the Soucy? What's the guy's name from Minnesota?
Yeah, Carson Soucy.
Yeah, Soucy. He sounds like a good Western Canadian boy. Is he? Where's he from?
I have no idea. I think maybe Minnesota, actually.
Stat guy Adam sleeping in here and doesn't even know where every single NHL player is from for me. Okay, let's talk about the Tanev hit, though. My thing, that's a charge, probably 2 minutes. But as our, you know, as our friend Barstool Jordy, oh, I don't know if I can say that. Are we going to get canceled? Yeah, that's, maybe we'll cut that out of the pod. No. But like, so Jordy mentions, though, he's like, I don't even know if that's really a penalty, but you deserve to get your teeth knocked in for that. Like, you deserve to be fought for that. I fully agree. I mean, that's a 2 minute charge. If anything, that's a questionable board. Like, if it's a boarding call, you're kind of like, it's a little bit of a soft boarding, but a five in a game and people are calling for a suspension. Give me a break.
Yeah. So this is kind of the second time this has happened in like a week or so, right? With the Buffalo one a couple weeks ago. But look, as I said on Twitter yesterday, if a guy's dumping the puck in, he's not dumping it in because he has 20 feet of open ice and there's nobody around him, right? He's dumping it in because there's somebody pressuring him and he's going to take a hit to dump it in, right? Like, you can't just dump it in for free and change, right? So I don't understand the whole, like, yeah, it's boarding. Well, when's it ever going to be on the player to brace for the hit, right? Like, the guy's kind of admiring his dump, making sure that it gets past the goalie behind the net there. So I don't really get why it's not on. I think it was Tenorti, right?
I think so, yeah.
Sounds right. like, why wasn't on to Norty to realize that a guy's pressuring him? And I think also part of it is you have to realize who's on the ice, right? Like, if that's the Crosby, Gensel, Brian Rust line, you're probably not taking that hit, but you probably should realize that Brandon Tanev's amongst the top 10 hitters in the league, so you probably know who's out there. That's part of the game, right?
And to everyone complaining, like, oh, Tanev, he's ruining the game. These hard hits are ruining the game. You know, we want to watch skillful hockey. I don't think you can change the game. That's a part of it. Hits are going to happen. As you said, if they're dumping the puck in, you have to at least have some clue that some guy is going to try take, you know, a little bit of a chunk out of you. That's just how the game's played. It's just, yeah, we're not playing on international ice here. You have to be ready for hits at all time. That's literally what everyone gets taught. And now if you're unprepared for a hit, A, you risk yourself getting hurt. And B, there's also a chance of like, hey, if I just stay loose and I get rocked into the boards, maybe they'll call a penalty because it looks worse. I don't know. I don't know what guys are thinking, but that's what it seems like. It's getting out of hand with these players who think you can just float around the neutral zone carefree. I don't know when hockey decided that's okay. It's also like guys cutting across the middle with their head down. When did that become okay? Play hockey the right way. If you think you're just going to float around with your head down all willy-nilly in the neutral zone, I don't think hockey's the sport for you.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's trying to take a run at Tanev for actually being physical in a game that's not physical, right? But, like, I mean, how is that even possible, right? Like, oh, God forbid somebody gets hit.
Shout out to James, our producer. Special guest Adam Ermentrout here joining us, not via video because he slept in. We're talking NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, Canadian company changing the way we buy hockey sticks. What's the number one problem you face when buying a top-of-the-line hockey stick? Well, they cost $350+, which is wild. Pro Rock top-of-the-line stick, weighing around 400 grams of the best price point. Check them out today, prorock.com. That's PRORROCC.com. Talking NHL news here. Do you have anything else to say about these suspensions, or can we move on?
No, like, I'm sure they'll get fined $5,000 and be done with it in classic NHL fashion.
Battle of Alberta talk time. Daryl Sutter, he's 3-0 with the Flames. There's so many things to talk about this. And I mean, maybe you can chime in on Sutter if you do actually have something here. But I also want to get your thoughts on Kelly Rudy's comments on Smith. He kind of called him out and said, hey, you got to smarten up if you're a veteran here. You can't be, you know, having bad body language. You can't be yelling at your team when they make mistakes because you cost your team. How many goals did he cost them last year? Half a dozen plus. Just the way he plays, he's a high risk, high reward. Even against the Flames, he gets caught wandering, doesn't actually play the puck properly, and it ends up in the back of the net. So you can't be a hypocrite here. Hypocrite. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. What was your thoughts on Kelly Rudy?
No, I completely agreed it. With it, right? Like the whole, like, I don't know, like Mike Smith, was he a 902 last year, and he had like an 850 the 1 month or something like that. So I mean, I appreciate a guy who's fiery and whatnot, and a guy who really wants to win and show some emotion like that. But it's fine if it's at yourself, and it's fine if it's once every so often, but every goal Smith throws up his arms, like the guy in front of him screws up. But in the game we're at, when his pad's inside his net and somebody shoots off his pad and in, then it's not really like that, right? So I really don't see why Smith is all like throwing his arms up and stuff, because the period before he plays the puck and it ends up in his net. So I don't get it. Also, I'll take the ratio any day of the week, right? Like, it's such an advantage to have a goalie like that to play the puck like Smith does, because if you watch the Oilers closely, their D-men don't even really go behind the net, right? Like, if the puck's dumped in, Smith stops it and the D-men are in the corner. So it's a huge benefit. It's just I don't like how he handles a lot of the stuff.
Do you remember, was it the 2010 Olympics? Was it Marty Brodeur who kept turning the puck over, playing the puck against the Americans that first game that they lost in the round robin?
Yeah, and then Luongo took over, I think.
Yeah. No, that's literally what I think of every single time Smith, like, does something stupid or turns the puck over. I'm like, man, just make simple plays. Like, I get it, Marty was a little older at that time, But goalies, if you're playing the puck, I'm not a goalie coach. I'm not Sean Burke here, friend of the show. Shout out to him for changing things in Montreal. But keep it simple. You don't have to make these elaborate stretch passes all the time. Stop the puck. Move it. Don't hold on for it too long. Don't try play it everywhere. Don't go flying out of your net all the time. Keep it simple. Come on. It's not that hard. Also, shout out to the OHL. They're pumping up this like, oh, big announcement today. Everyone's like, big announcement today. And it's literally just about scholarships. Like figure out a return to play plan or frick off. Talk Connor Bedard here for a second, because I'm sure you've watched a little bit more of him than I have. Like, I've seen the highlights. But, dude, what a start for this kid. 4 points in two games.
Yeah, I've got some sources there.
Okay, so, big dog.
No, I think the hype around him, it's legit. He's really good. I still think he's obviously a little smaller, right? He's 16, but clearly a slick player who knew kind of how to find the scoring areas, right? If you see his goals, he's getting in behind the defenseman and whatnot.
What a shot.
Yeah, no, his shot, but also not to take anything away from the guy, but I think every probably first round pick would be with their team right now from the past draft. And sure enough, a guy from outside Saskatoon, Braden Jaeger, has 3 points and goes +3 with Moose Jaw yesterday. And that's his, I think, second career game. And then our boy Cole Lynn's brothers in Red Deer. And then another guy to keep an eye out on when it gets started, Riley Height in BC.
There you go. That's your WHL breakdown presented by Adam Ehrmantraut, who needs an alarm clock sponsor. Let's figure that one out. Someone get on it, James. That's all on you right now. Okay, NHL, I got one more thing. Those Stars, those white jerseys were disgusting. Who approves all white? That's like the California Roller League. Get rid of it.
Yeah, terrible. And even like I respect the Ducks ones, I guess, but it's like, dude, this is the NHL. This isn't a beer league team that you created on NHL 20 or whatever.
That's what it looks like. It looks like those kids who like have like, oh, like I've own an NHL esports team and this is our jerseys. Looks stupid. Cut the crap. That Ichiro video too. That was a funny one. It was a full joke when we said not even impressive. I don't know how many people took that serious. Like, of course it's impressive. He's throwing a baseball, knocking down bats from 90 yards away, whatever it is. Like, yes, it's impressive. It was a joke. He'll be like, oh, this page has gone downhill. Shut up. Don't follow us then. That's your problem.
Look, we got 19.2K other followers to deal with too, yeah. So I don't think we'll be
just unfollow us if that's it. Okay, we got to take a quick break here for Abbey Rock, but before then, I'm just going to say it. We're full Switzerland here. The Barstool versus Gord Miller battle. I don't want to dip my toes into there too much. We got friends on Barstool. Gord Miller's a friend of the show. He's an awesome hockey broadcaster. I think any company, corporation, they're going to have their things that they're not proud of. There's a lot of things that I think any company, if you dive deep into, a lot of stuff you probably want to stay away from. But we're not jumping in the fight here. We're Switzerland. We're all team hockey. If you're for hockey, I mean, I'll listen to Spittin' Chicklets. I'll listen to Gord Miller any day of the week. We love everyone. That's why we're here. We're here to be kind. We're here to be better. Adam Ehrmantraut finally hopping on the show. We are going to talk to, Wisconsin standout and someone who, by Hillary Knight, not a bad hockey player, ever heard of her, said she's going to be the future best player in the world. It's Abbey Rock coming up. Cody Jansen, Adam Ehrmantraut with you here on World Hockey Report. We're back after the break. It's World Hockey Report, sent by Lord Co. Auto Parts, one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Cody Jansen, Adam Ehrmantraut with you. Happy St. Patty's Day. Hope you're wearing green. I'm not. Green golf balls there. Shout out Vice Golf for the hookup last summer. Those things are going to be awesome. Time to move on. Our next guest here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, Canadian company changing the way we buy hockey sticks. It's Abbey Rock, PWHPA. I mean, superstar in the making. Let's be honest here. Abbey joins the show right now. Abbey, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. I can't complain. We're finally getting nice weather up here in Alberta, Saskatchewan. I'm sure it's not terrible down in Minnesota. So I can't complain. We're getting a couple of days closer to the golf course. Let's talk about some of your recent events. So, oh my goodness, you're ripping it up on national television, playing at MSG Chicago Stadium for Minnesota PWHPA. I mean, tell me about it. What was it like playing in those barns? It had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, obviously both pretty historic arenas and rinks to play in. So you just get kind of pumped up before you go to that rink, walking to MSG and having all this great stuff laid out for you, having the game and both of those being on national television. It's just, it's truly great to see, I guess, girls hockey heading in the right direction and women's hockey, I guess, just getting the recognition it deserves and playing in these rinks that one day we hope we can have fans in. Obviously with COVID, it was a little scarce in that way, but just keep growing our fan base and keep growing the game that way.
Abby, you spent a couple years at Wisconsin there. What was it like with, I mean, that school, it seems like that's kind of the one school that has hockey, football, basketball. They pretty much have everything. Just what was it like there?
Yeah, Wisconsin was an amazing school and time for sure. It's just, they treat you like a professional there is the best way to say it. You get everything you could want, help with your schooling, tutoring, access to great resources for all that stuff. And then you get all this amazing stuff around the rink. We have our own Rink LeBron Arena just for the girls' games. We have an amazing facility, cold tubs, hot tubs, great weight room, all the best staff, obviously our coaches, Mark Johnson, who, and he's a pretty big deal himself. So it's just, it was a dream to be able to go there and just kind of continue on to legacy that was built there and just continues on. I know they just entered their Frozen Four there now. I think that's the seventh straight Frozen Four appearance. I think Wisconsin broke a record with that one, but it's just an amazing school, an amazing program to be a part of. And it's for sure a big part of why I'm where I'm at today.
Not a big deal. Hey, I got to ask, I was going to jump into some more pro questions, but now that you brought up college, or Adam did at least, why not Minnesota? Why did you snub Minnesota if you're, you know, in Minneapolis? Is it just Wisconsin's that much better of a program or what?
Well, I recently moved to Minneapolis just because my CWHPA, region is Minneapolis, and we have some girls who train from outside and are coming in for games just because that's what the layout is right now and what some girls can work with. But I moved here, decided to train with all of the other girls who train here, which is a lot of them. Obviously the Gophers have a lot of local girls who grow up, play for the Gophers, and then stay and continue training for national team and professional hockey. So I made the move here, so did a couple of the other girls, and it's been awesome living here and training with these girls. But yeah, I'm from Michigan originally. Gophers, obviously I took a look at them because they are a great program in its own right. But I think in the end, I ever since I was a kid, actually, I really wanted to go to Wisconsin. My dad coached Division I college hockey, and I went to a tournament. They were playing the Badgers. I was probably like 10 for all I remember, but I remember being on campus and being in the Kohl Center and thinking this place is amazing. And then later down the line, when it all lined up, I just visited Wisconsin again. I was like, this is the place I want to be.
Yeah, not a bad school for sure. Also great research by myself, not knowing you're from Michigan. Hey, I got to ask about Hillary Knight's comments there to the media, because that's got to feel pretty cool for you being an up-and-comer in the professional women's game, you know, saying that, you know, you're the future of the women's game, you know, your future best player in the world. What's that like coming from her? I mean, you're an American. You're hearing it from one of the best female hockey players of all time. I mean, I'll put her right up there with the best of the best. Hillary Knight's incredible for the game. What was it like hearing that from her, and what's it like playing against her too? I mean, you know, seeing some incredible talent on the ice.
Yeah, so Hillary, obviously growing up, I was watching her play, I think early high school, middle school, and she was just already a stud in the USA hockey program, and just at Wisconsin itself made huge waves there. So she's had an amazing career, and it's truly, you're right, one of the best of the best, probably one of the best to ever do it. She's just such a natural goal scorer too, and to have her say such kind things about me is really special. And it's something that I think we can wait and see what happens with hockey. I think we're jumping the gun a little bit, but it's truly, it's great to get compliments like that, especially from somebody who's done it herself and been an amazing hockey player and has been really the best of the best for so many years consistently. It's truly incredible to watch her play. And then I play against her at USA camps and then with her at USA camps and on teams and for the PWHPA. So it's it's great to learn from her and get to compete against her. She's truly a great player.
All right, so Hillary's pumping your tires for USA Hockey. I got to ask you, I'm a little biased. My brother's line mate from Pee Wee, Sophie Shirley, you played with her a couple of years. I know Emily Clark's kind of pumping her tires. Just what are your thoughts on her and where she could go with Hockey Canada?
I think Sophie Shirley, the sky's the limit with her, honestly. She is an amazing hockey player. She was my line mate when she came into Wisconsin, and I think to this day was probably my favorite line mate I've ever had, one of them at least. I think we both kind of clicked in that way. She sees the game incredibly well, and we complemented each other, I think, in that way. She can skate like the wind. It's amazing how her skating stride, how she can move on the ice, her scoring touch, and just how she sees it. It's incredible. I think she just has so much more potential to grow. And I think as she continues to grow, she'll definitely be continuing on with the Hockey Canada program and be making some teams.
Okay, got one last one for you. Well, actually, we'll split it into two. I mean, I want to know from your perspective, who are some up-and-comers in the female professional game that people really need to keep an eye on as, you know, the future of it? And two, where do you see women's hockey going? I know, you know, you've got separate leagues. There's a little bit of tension, I find, between them. You know, do you think that this Dream Gap Tour is going to take off with some NHL support, some NHL team backing, and that's going to be the future? And also, I mean, just from a player perspective, who should our fans, followers, be keeping an eye on as the future of American women's hockey?
Yeah, all great questions. I think there's a lot of talent that's going to be coming out of college in the next couple of years for sure. Obviously, NCAA has given them that extra year of eligibility, and I think right now we have some great younger girls who are just kind of joining programs, whether that be USA or Canada, and joining the PWHPA in itself. People like Savannah Harmon and Jinsey Dunn are both younger players who kind of recently graduated, both defensemen, who I think are just incredible hockey players. I play with Savannah here every day, and she just continues to show me, I guess, why I think so highly of her as a defenseman. And Jinsey Dunn, I've played with her since U18s and against her when she was on Ohio State. Now she's on the New Hampshire region, so I've been playing against her still, and she has always been a very difficult player to play against for me, and I think that's one of the biggest things. If the other team knows that's hard to play against you, is kind of when you know you're doing something right.
Abby, that was awesome there. I appreciate you taking the time. I guess I'll let you dive into the league. Sorry, I cut you off there. I totally forgot. Two-part question. Where do you see? Is the PWHPA the future of women's hockey? Do you think it seems? I mean, I'm not going to lie, maybe a little bit biased, but I feel like watching that hockey versus, say, other hockey, you know, you can clearly tell which one's the superior.
Yeah, I mean, I think the PWHPA definitely, we have the best players in the world. Every player is amazing. It's just a great product to be able to sell and to support. And I think what we're doing to try to grow the game and grow women's hockey is important. And I think that's the whole idea, is to hopefully get some sponsors or hopefully partner with a league per se, or whatever it comes first, I suppose. I think a lot of people are going to be jumping on it soon, especially the Olympics coming up. That's going to, again, make a huge bubble around women's hockey and how great it is and showing off that. So I'm excited to see what the next little while takes off for women's hockey, because I think there's just the sky's the limit again for women's hockey, and it'll be incredible to watch. I think people jump on the bandwagon of how good of a sport it is.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, hey, you're a huge part of that. Don't get yourself, you know, don't be too humble here on NBC national television. You're ripping them past Olympic goaltenders. Abby Rock, thanks for joining the show here. We appreciate you taking the time here today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, take care. Abby Rock right there, PWHPA Minnesota legend, you know, future best player in the world per Hillary Knight. Adam, I know you caught a little bit of those games there too, and I know you're huge into women's hockey when it comes to, you know, that Canadian-American rivalry, honestly. I mean, I think you're more passionate about that than the men's game for sometimes, especially on Twitter there. But what's your thoughts for the women's game? How does it grow? How does it evolve? You've got unreal players like Abby Rock, but you've got two, maybe three leagues now. You've got so much tension there. I mean, the NWHL, I think they're vice president, president just quit 10 days before the Isobel Cup's supposed to be handed out? Like, what's got to give for them to find a viable professional league?
Yeah, I mean, I think the backing all around needs to be better, right? Because there's so many, they're trying to start a bunch of different things, right? With the NWHL, the PWPHA, and then all the, like, the little kind of tournaments they do with Hockey Canada and USA, and that's how they. And then there's girls playing college hockey. There's girls playing Canadian university hockey at prep school. So there's so many, I mean, leagues right now that I think they really need to back one or back a couple and really get consistent with it. Because right now, right, and it's honestly gets confusing where you're like, hey, this person's here, this person's there, but they might go there. You know, it's they really need a set league and backing from the NHL to grow up more.
100%. And I mean, from a business side, just knowing people who work in, you know, the industry and stuff, seeing teams over in Sweden, Germany, Russia paying female players a good chunk of money. I mean, they're getting close to, I mean, SPHL, ECHL salaries over there. And I get it. That's not glorious, but hey, that's a lot better than the NWHL and the CWHL was doing. So you got to figure out a way to be like, how do we keep, you know, our top players to at home instead of going overseas? Because they've got a successful model over there. They're pulling it off. And North America, I find it's just everyone's so bitter. Everyone's trying to fight about everything. No one wants to be associated with everyone. There's always something to pick, you know, they're their own worst enemy in a certain sense. I don't know. I'm excited for the future of the game, though. It's cool you asked about Sophie Shirley there, too. A good Sasky player, Sasky girl, you know, ripping it up. I guarantee you, you know, she'll be the face of Hockey Canada. Emily Clark's already playing for Team Canada, stuff like that. The future is definitely bright there. NHL. I wanted to bring this up, too, and I totally forgot, so I wrote it down on my notepads here. I mean, we've talked about Curtis Gabriel a little bit. Is fighting back in hockey?
I think it's just part of how the seasons go, right? Like the, you know, you're kind of, you've played these teams probably 5-6 times each by now, right? So you're getting pissed off at the guys, which is kind of what Lucic was saying yesterday. And also there's only like 28 games left. So you're really kind of down to the stretch run. It's starting to get a little tighter, a little more low scoring. And I mean, yeah, it might be back a little bit, and the Battle of Alberta, I'm sure there'll be another fight tonight, right?
Who do you think fights tonight? Can't be Kara again. Oh, he's out, actually. That's per Jack Michaels 18 seconds ago. That's the quickest NHL news you're going to get right there, folks. Shout out. Follow me on Twitter at January31.
I don't think Cashian would fight, just given he's back from broken hand. But I don't know. Like, it's not like the Oilers have a ton of heavyweights, right? And Nurse can't fight every game. Larson doesn't really fight.
Archibald chuck him?
Archibald can fight a little bit, but he's more of just like a physical guy. Like, they don't really have, you know, a heavyweight on their team, like Patrick Russell.
I like watching that Archibald, actually. I mean, he buzzes around. He plays hockey a pretty simple style. I mean, he doesn't do anything too fancy. He chips in a little bit offensively. You can kind of play up and down your lineup. Like, I mean, ideally, you don't want him playing with McDavid every single night. But, you know, if he needs to fit in there, he can. He's got some speed. He's good at giving the puck. He'll hit guys. He'll get to the dirty areas.
Yeah, you know what you're getting from him, right? What do you think Nugent Hopkins gets on a contract? Because I kind of tweeted that he hasn't been very good this year, and he really hasn't. He ranks 295th out of like 400 forwards in goals per 60 at even strength or something like that. So hasn't been good, hasn't made himself any money.
Stats guy right there. What Nugent Hopkins are we talking? Are we talking second line center Nugent Hopkins? Are we talking
first line?
Are we talking first line winger Nugent Hopkins?
I think he's a winger, right? Like, it's it's clearly been proven the last couple of years that he can't drive his own line, clearly.
But how many second line centers can drive their own line, Adam?
Horvat.
Okay, there's one.
Horvat, Kadri probably can.
Are you gonna take Kadri's a pretty, I think I'd take Kadri over Nugent Hopkins, but would you I don't think he's that far off. Everyone makes him out to be terrible because he gets his goals on the power play. Sometimes you got to be a capitalizing scorer, but I still think that he's a 6.5 guy. I think free agency, someone might give him 7 at him. I don't know. There's just that part of Ryan Nugent Hopkins who can be a first line winger. He can be a second line center. How many guys can do that who go to free agency, unrestricted free agency?
Here's a good question for you. Would you rather Hyman at 4.5 or Nugent Hopkins at 7?
Hyman. MK. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone would say that. But it'll be interesting to see how the free agency world pans out. I mean, what did Taylor Hall sign for his Buffalo?
Just one year, eight million. Eight.
Yeah, I was going to say, because then to get 7 for Nugent Hopkins, I don't know, man. If the Oilers can get him at 6x6, sign the deal yesterday. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, just same deal. I mean, but you better watch out what you say about him, because Oilers fans, he's like their child.
He's the longest tenured Oiler, though. You got to give him that. The Oilers have been a dumpster fire for the past how many years, Adam?
Yeah.
You know that as well as anyone.
He stuck it out.
He's been that one guy who stuck it out. He gives an effort every night. He gives a damn about the team. He kind of is Edmonton right now. So to lose a guy like that, how do you replace him?
I also think it's just classic contract negotiations and a bit of a game of chicken right now, where he's from Vancouver. He gets to play out west, close enough to home where you're not playing in Vancouver, but it's still, you get to see the family a couple times. You know, he's married to an Edmonton girl or Western Canadian girl. So, like, it's a game of chicken.
Shout out his brother, coached in Coquitlam, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we are way running over our break here. Totally lost track of time. NHL contract talks, always fun. Alan Poupart coming up after the break. Florida Panthers NHL correspondent, writer, whatever you want to call him. He's coming up next. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen and Adam Erman Trout with you on 12 Ounce Sports. So I know the world revolves around the North Division here up in Canada, but come on, there's some studs being built down in the States. The Florida Panthers, the hottest team in the NHL. I think they're the top team win percentage-wise in the NHL, and we're going to dive into them here. So we'll talk your report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Learn more at lordco.com. Find them on Lordco Parts on social media. Our next guest, Alan Poupart, Florida Panthers correspondent for NHL.com, brought to you by Coco Vodka. Coco Rum back for another season. Our great friends at Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, best drink you'll ever have on more shelves than ever across Alberta. Refreshingly different Coco Vodka and Rum, a vacation in a can. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, the real deal. We welcome on Alan Poupart right now. Alan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you fellas doing?
Doing good, doing good. Adam, I'll let you tee this one off here on your boy Barkov.
Let's fire it up.
Barkey.
Man, like, this guy, like, I don't think he's underrated anymore. I think that people legitimately know who he is, but I don't think that people see him as the top 5 or 10 player he should be. They're like, yeah, you know, he's number one center, whatever, but what's the vibe in Florida around him? Like, can he go places in Florida with actually getting noticed, or how's he been this year? I'm on his MVP campaign.
Oh, same here. No, he can go anywhere in Florida and people wouldn't recognize him, because let's be perfectly honest, it's not a huge hockey market. The Panthers have been under the radar, and the number of Miamians and South Floridians who are true hockey fans, very small. And one reason I would tell you why he never has gotten the accolades that he deserves is he does so many things that are subtle and not flashy. He's also never put up like huge scoring points, but there's not one thing he doesn't do well. I mean, you'll see him, there'll be an outlet pass where his center ice in the pass will be like right in his skates, and 97% of the players in the league can't handle it, and he'll just move his skates and corral the puck like there's nothing there. He wins battles on the boards all the time. He breaks up, I've stopped counting how many plays he breaks up in the defensive zone. Again, it's insane how complete a player he is. And if he's not in the conversation for not only the Hart Trophy, and if he's not, because to me right now, he should be a leading contender, and he might not get it because I know Connor McDavid is lighting up the stat sheet, but it's a different thing. I mean, it's, again, he does everything really, really, really well. And in addition to the Hart, if he's not in the conversation at or right near the top of the Celtics, I'm going to be very annoyed. Not that it's going to make a difference, but I'm going to be very, very annoyed.
No, that's totally fair. And I mean, just watching him the last, like his career pretty much, I think he could be one of those 100-110 point guys. It's just he sacrifices so much on the defensive end. And I think that's a winning brand. But you kind of touched on the market in Florida. And I just want to get right into that too. Is it the rink? Is it all the snowbirds and people down there? Like, what's the deal? Because I think that the market could be good. I've just heard the rink is just in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of remote, but it's also right off a highway. It's insanely easy to get to, pretty much. I think the bigger reason is that nobody in South Florida is from South Florida. So those who like hockey usually are from New York, they're from Chicago, they're from Detroit, they're from Boston. So they're Bruins fans, Rangers fans, Blackhawks fans, which is why when the Panthers, before COVID, when they had their best crowd, was when they would play one of those Northeast teams, and half the fans in the stands would be fans from for the other team. It's just a rare bird, somebody who's born in South Florida and picked up hockey at an early age and grew up a fan. And you see it maybe a little bit more than you did before, but it's still a long way to go. And guess what? That's not strictly related to the Panthers. It's an issue with every sports team in South Florida because it's such a snowbird area where so many of the people here just are people who came from elsewhere, usually the Northeast.
Now, Jonathan Huberto has been having an unreal season as well, but one guy who really stuck out on the past two Panthers games I've watched is that Carter Verhaeghe. I mean, what's he like? You've seen enough of him now, like, this kid's got to be the real deal, isn't he? He's popping off.
Yeah, he's a good, solid player, but I will say this. He's playing with Barkov. That helps tremendously because the guy's got the puck all the time. I didn't even mention that when I was talking about him. He's got the puck all the time. And you will notice guys who go up on his line tend to all of a sudden do pretty well. Having said that, Verhaeghe's been a great addition. He was a guy who got kind of lost in Tampa Bay because of their million and zillion good forwards in their system. But the dude can skate. There's good two-way ability there. There is some scoring touch. Well, I wouldn't call him a pure scorer, but you combine the skating ability, the two-way game, and playing with Barkov, and you're getting some really solid results from him. And that's just one of the many newcomers that the Panthers have gotten a lot of mileage out of, which partly explains why right now they have the top record in the NHL.
Is there kind of a Florida-Tampa rivalry actually building now that both teams are decent? Because it feels like, you know, in the past, it's kind of, oh, one team's good, the other one's not. But now it feels like they're pretty close. Alan, what's your thoughts there? Are we getting a rivalry finally?
I think you'll get one if they meet in the playoffs. The problem is Tampa's been so far ahead of the Panthers that it's really tough. It's almost like, this is going to be a nasty metaphor, but it's almost like the Panthers have been kind of a flying around the head and face of the Lightning, and they're just kind of swatting it away. I think for it to become a true rivalry is the Panthers have to come closer and match the level of the Lightning. And maybe this is the year that happens if either team that winds up facing Carolina in the first round of the playoffs can get by the Hurricanes, who, by the way, are a very good team also.
Alan, I got to ask you, in Canada here, we might get fans by 2025, given our vaccine rollout. But by all accounts, Florida seems pretty wide open. I know a UFC fight's going to go down in Jacksonville and with full fans. Are the Panthers going to get to a full capacity relatively soon here?
I think they're inching toward that sooner rather than later, especially since the governor of Florida is very gung-ho on getting things back to normal, even though things are not back to normal, but that seems to be what he's pushing for in a lot of different areas. And at some point, I think you could see that probably happening in Sunrise, Florida, sooner than other places in the NHL.
Interesting. I got a quick one for you on goaltenders here before we let you go. Alan Poupart, our guest for Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. The goaltending, let's talk about that. I mean, Dreger's been playing good, but again, you know, you kind of got a $10 million goaltender. who is arguably going to be the backup here, and he's still locked up for long term. What's going on, and what's your thoughts? Who should they be riding here?
Well, that was the case a couple of weeks ago. The statement you made totally was the case a couple of weeks ago, where Driedger was the better goalie on this team. But for the past 2 weeks around that area, Bobrovsky really, really has picked up his game, and he's looking like the guy the Panthers gave that huge contract to. So right now he has reestablished himself as the top goalie. He's been in the net, the past four games. And I would tell you that he's been really, really good. And that's another reason why the Panthers are where they are, because Driedger carried them while Bobrovsky was finding his game early in the season, which was a continuation of last year, mind you, when Driedger clearly was the better of the two goalies. And that was the case early this season. But lately, as I said, Bobrovsky's picked up his game and he is looking really good. And right now they have two really, really good goalies. And we're not even mentioning the fact that they might have the number one goalie prospect anywhere in Spencer Knight at Boston College.
Alan, last one quickly for you. Who will be the best quarterback in Florida next year? Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, or Tom Brady?
Wow, that's a good one. That's a very, very good question. Wow. Well, you know the perception is going to be that it's going to be Tom Brady, because everything he does seems to be received marvelously. I think, judging by what Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert were able to do in their rookie season, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Trevor Lawrence will be your guy.
Hell yeah. Alan, I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to do this again down the road.
Absolutely. Enjoy the fellas.
Thanks.
Alan Poupart right there, Florida Panthers correspondent, NHL.com. Trevor Lawrence, it's a hot take. Tom Brady, yeah, everything he touches does pretty good because he's got, what, 8 Super Bowls? Not bad. That's all right. Interesting, though, to hear some of his thoughts. I mean, obviously, he's high on Barkov, as are you. I think Barkov's a good player. Adam, I still struggle to say, is he a top 5 NHLer? I still struggle. Top 10's understandable, but
yeah,
hard. If you're going to win the heart, he probably should be a top 5 NHL player. And I just don't know. I mean, when I can kind of put top players like Vasilevsky, Hedman, McDavid, Draisaitl, I think all 4 of those guys are kind of locks to be up there. And is Barkov really number 5? I mean, I hear the arguments. I see the arguments all the time. I'm just not sure. Okay, Adam, who are we going to bench today for our friends at QuackStats, the most advanced player tracking technology? Put you on the spot here. Who are you sitting?
Probably Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, just because they hire and fire coaches for a living. Like, they just, like, that's all they do in Buffalo, and I'll just bench them.
You know, I already went on my rant about NHL player safety, the refs. So I feel like that's the obvious one. I'm trying to think if I should go out.
We do that like every week, though.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, do we bench Department of Player Safety? Do we bench anyone? I don't know. I'm going to bench the Dallas Stars for those white jerseys. Those are just disgusting, man. I can't get over that. Every time I see them, it makes me want to turn off the TV. I don't know. I'm a guy who says style over performance. Style comes first, right? You kind of have to have a little bit of that look good, feel good, play good.
Well, yeah,
those are just terrible.
The worst part about those jerseys is like the original design with the Medano logo is actually pretty sweet.
True.
But now they just made it all white, which made no sense at all.
Yeah, reverse retro failed. We'll give that one. Okay, bet of the night, mybookie.ag. Hey, March Madness is here. Use mybookie.ag to place all those bets. 1-2 OZ Sports, all caps, no spaces. Mybookie.ag, they're going to match your first deposit up to $1,000. Adam, let's get into March Madness here for a second. I want to know, who you got winning?
That is a great question.
Wow.
I haven't watched a second of college basketball this year, but
I'm just going to
stick with my boys in Gonzaga, because it's basically the Canadian team.
You're such a loser.
I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
Plus 205 right there on mybookie.ag. I'll go with Illinois, plus 700 there. They're rolling. They're buzzing. A dark horse. I still like Alabama. They're plus 2,000. They got a little bit of a run and gun style. I know. Adam might not be a college basketball guy. I am. I love it. Shout out 12 Ounce Sports. Shout out mybookie.ag. Do you got any more NHL news that we really missed on? I mean, we kind of dove into some of the Buffalo Sabres news. Do you want to talk about who you think should be getting their coaching gig?
Well, Mike Babcock. I mean, I think they just need to get it right for something there, right?
You think Babcock is going to relate with Jack Eichel?
No, but I think they need somebody with structure. Here's a very, very good one for you. And I brought this up. I don't think that Buddy in Carolina, Tom Dundon, is going to pay Rod Brind'Amour what he's worth, which is probably $6 million. Kevin Adams played with Rod Brind'Amour. Why couldn't he just say to the Pegulas, look, like, this is 1,000% our guy. Let's take a run at him. Like, Barry Trotz won a damn Stanley Cup, and he didn't get re-signed in Washington because they didn't want to pay him. So I think that's... It probably won't happen, but it's a cool little whatever comment.
Adam. You totally redeemed yourself with that one. That's a wild call going off the map. I love it. Give Rod the Bot a blank check and say, hey, welcome to Buffalo. That's bold. I didn't even think about that. I love it. Carolina, they're cheap. They're probably not even paying for his cell phone. Get him to Buffalo. Get that team building. I also just, I kind of hope that they stay a dumpster fire because I want to see Jack Eichel on a good team. I don't really care about where Taylor Hall ends up. He's not moving the needle for any team anytime soon. They really don't have that. Like, I like that Wolfson. I like Reinhardt. Do you think someone, actually, I got one more for you because, I mean, you ripped on Calgary for saying the price is too high on Raquel, which I totally believe that the price would be outrageous on him just from an Anaheim perspective. Sam Reinhardt to Calgary? Think it could work out? I mean, Western boy, I know the price is going to be high. I know you're going to have to make
there, I think.
You're going to have to make the money work. But why would you not want a gamer like that? He was so huge in the playoffs every time it mattered in the dub. I think he's got that gamer instinct. I like his progression this year. Dude, the Flames got to do something. And a guy like Sam Reinhardt, you're stupid not to knock doors.
Yeah, and I think the Flames are pretty much working in a 2-year window here anyway, so it's not like it really matters. Look, if you trade for Sam Reinhardt, you trade futures for him, whatever, in 2 years you're probably going to be bad anyways, just given that Monahan, Gaudreau are up, guys are old or whatever. Why wouldn't you try and recoup that later? I just don't get, like, Brad Treliving, it's, oh, he's active, he's this, he's that, but it literally never happens with Calgary for whatever reason, and I mean, the only time he did it was a Hamonic trade, which turned out to be a bust.
Oh, wow. I just heard about Cole Lynn. Broke his nose week to week.
Oh, yeah. I saw the picture of his face.
That's awesome. That one just came across Twitter here. Hobie Baker nominations are out. I got to assume Cole Caulfield's winning it. He's just a stud. That Shane Pinto at North Dakota is good as well. I don't know. I don't follow enough college hockey to really know who's been head and shoulders above the rest. Be interesting to see where Dylan Holloway ends up. Any last thoughts here before we wrap it up?
No, I'm looking forward to Battle of Alberta tonight. A random bet would be the Senators to beat the Canucks because Thatcher Demko has been standing on his head for a month here. The Canucks have not deserved to win these games, but I think the Senators could take the Canucks tonight.
I mean, you kind of just contradicted yourself there, but hey. Adams betting it. Use mybookie.ag. Quick shout out, as always, Lordco Auto Parts, presenting sponsor of World Hockey Report, Pro Hockey Honky Sticks, Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, Quack Stats, everyone who supports the show. We appreciate y'all. Everything means a lot to us that you guys keep supporting, watching us, buying our stuff. We always appreciate that. Until next week, for Adam Armstrong, Cody Jansen, James, our producer, Jeff back over at 12 Ounce Sports. Everyone, be kind, be better.